there's so many sports.
Yeah, tonight was, well, not just tonight, the past couple of weeks, obviously. It's, I think, inarguably, it's the best, you know, 2 to 4 weeks in sports, really in the whole year, these past 2 to 4 weeks, right?
Yeah, when we started this podcast, it was April, and hockey playoffs were just happening, and baseball was starting, and I asked the question, what's better, April or October?
And NBA playoffs were on, too.
Yeah.
And Champions League was on.
And like the Masters and stuff. But And it's just easily October, though.
I think so, because everything's on. Like, tonight is a night, like, this is, because NBA started last night, right?
Yeah.
So, basically, you had for 2 nights, all four major sports playing, because you had the last 2 games of the World Series, you had NBA is opening, you know, NFL's in the middle of the season, and mm-hmm. the NHL is off to a start. So really, it's the best time to be a sports fan. I do like, obviously, the spring for, like you said, the Masters and the start of the tennis major season.
Yeah, tennis major.
And for the you know, quarterfinals, semifinals of Champions League and stuff. But really, it's pretty hard to beat it. Because the one thing that's missing in April is you don't have football, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a big contributor
to
the sports watching experience. But remember this night and how good it was for the night after the MLB All-Star Game, the worst night in sports.
Absolutely. There was literally nothing on. Usually there's like a CFL game on. on SportsCenter, they'll have that for like a half hour.
Which is hardly consolation. Yeah, I remember being in the gym watching SportsCenter and just wondering why it was taking so long on the treadmill, and I realized because I was not distracted enough, because I couldn't listen to Jock Climie explain to me why the Edmonton Eskimos were so bad for 45 minutes.
Oh, I know. It's just, it's so mundane. But we don't have to talk about that. We can be excited.
We have so many things to talk about. We have to move at light speed to recap everything. And I'm jazzed up watching Madison Baumgartner win his truck. Look at this thing.
Yeah,
it's huge. He just won the MVP of the World Series.
Gorgeous Silverado, I think.
What did I say?
I think it's a Silverado. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, look at this guy handing him the keys.
Looks like Gary Lawless from the Winnipeg Free Press.
Look at Aaron Andrews just trying to desperately get some emotion out of Madison Baumgartner. The man is stoic. He is historic.
He's been there before.
Yes, but he's 25. 3-0 in this World Series because of the win he got tonight.
Yeah.
All time is 0.26 ERA. Is he the best World Series pitcher of all time now?
Yeah, you know, I think that my baseball knowledge is grown exponentially this year because I paid a lot of attention to it for the first time in a while. But, you know, historically, I was trying to look up some past World Series performances that were really really impressive. And one of them that came to mind was Randy Johnson for the Diamondbacks in 2001 when they beat the Yankees. But, I mean, Madison Baumgartner, he's 5-0 in 3 World Series. He's got that 0.25 ERA. He's got, I think, 30 strikeouts now. It's historical. It's something that's really cool to see because, you know, when we're older and the World Series is going on in 20, 30 years from now, you can say that you saw, you know, probably the best pitching performance in a World Series of all time. Because I would say that from what I know, what Baumgartner did in this World Series was the best pitching performance in a World Series of all time. He's the MVP for a reason. If they don't have him, look, the Royals won 3 of the 4 games he didn't start, right?
Yeah.
Or no, sorry, he didn't start tonight. They won 3 of the 4 games in which he didn't play.
Yeah. Just to recap, the Giants win in Game 7 on the road for the first team to win Game 7 on the road in the World Series since 1979.
Crazy.
Capped off by Madison Baumgartner coming in, and probably the best performance in this game would not be Madison Baumgartner, in my opinion, but of the San Francisco Giants manager not touching him.
Oh yeah, that's you got
a heck of a call.
Oh yeah, you got ice in your veins for not putting in Castillo in that situation, not putting in your ever reliable closer. You know, I mean, for a guy who obviously is the best pitcher in the world right now, I mean, but that's unheard of, putting a starting pitcher in on 2.5 days rest and getting him to pitch five innings in that situation. It's unheard of.
Unbelievable. It really is. Yeah, it's, I mean, the right call, and I applaud him for it. Whether it worked out or not, whether, because that triple, I don't know who the center fielder was for the Giants, but what an awful, awful play. You get behind that, and that's a single.
Yeah, that's nerves right there.
He couldn't decide whether he wanted to make a World Series diving catch for it, which would have been epic. Yeah. But I guess he didn't trust himself. But if, was it Perez?
Salvador Perez, yeah.
Yeah. If that becomes a run, whether it worked out or not, I think that was the right call. Live by the sword, die by the sword, and Baumgartner was the right call.
The center fielder there, and I think it was, Perez, I want to say is who it was. He would be Buckner, right? Not Buckner because the Giants had two World Series in the previous four seasons. Sorry, that was Blanco out in center field.
Right.
But he would be Buckner because if Perez had gotten all over one of Bumgarner's pitches and hit it out of the park, or, you know, even hit in Gordon and then the Royals had a 1-12, mm-hmm. you'd look back to that play. You absolutely would.
Yeah. And it was just a terrible moment of indecision. But my favorite moment, and I said this to you before we started recording, I think it's my favorite moment in sports of the 2014 calendar year, just because I can't think back that far. But the ball's up in the air, the foul ball, two outs. Ball goes up in the air. Sandoval goes under it. Baumgartner starts walking towards home plate. And Buster Posey takes off his mask and walks out to Baumgartner. And he gives a look to Madison Baumgartner that is just brilliant. It's just
adorable.
It's like just exhilaration and jubilation. Oh, my God. It's perfect. There needs to be a picture. There needs to be on every highlight reel. You need to go look at this look. Yeah. It just says everything you need to know that, like, I love it.
And Buster Posey, along with Pablo Sandoval, a guy, Baumgartner, Matt Cain, who didn't pitch in this series. These are guys who have been there for this, what I would call, and what I'm sure you would agree, is a dynasty, right? You'd say this is a dynasty. Three
it has to be. Three of five. They won in the 5 years. They just put up a graphic here on, I guess, whoever's running this, ESPN. That the Giants won from 2010 to 2014.
Yeah.
They won three of those five. The Yankees of 96 to 2000 won four of the five. And the only one that beats those two teams were the Yankees in 53 that won five in a row. Yeah. But, you know, it's a different game now.
And the Athletics won three in a row as well, I believe, from 87 to 89.
Right.
But they're
up there. They are a dynasty easily.
Oh, sure. It's really cool to see because we haven't seen a dynasty. I mean, unless you want to call the Miami Heat a dynasty, which is something that I really would prefer not to do.
No, I don't think the Miami Heat are considered a dynasty. They're a put together, assembled thing.
Yeah, that's not really a dynasty. That's just something that nobody likes.
So just to wrap up the World Series talk, I think that, well, two things. A, for as much as I hate baseball, man, did I get into it. But that might have been because I was putting money on the games. But I will say this Game 7 was really good and probably the best of the series, maybe. And thankfully, because I don't think this was the greatest series of all time in terms of finals. It wasn't the best series. There are a lot of blowouts. I think three of the seven games were decided by more than eight runs or something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't a particularly interesting series the whole way through. It was more about like a team's dominating, right? Teams dominated the individual games. Mm-hmm. So it was more about, I guess, the performances, you know, looking at Baumgartner's performance, looking at the Royals' clutch comeback performance at 10-0 last night in Game 6, proving that they were still, you know, legitimate and still in it. But, you know, Jake Peavy. But, it was more about performances, I think, in this series than anything else. And it doesn't matter because, I mean, it was a seven-game series with a great seventh game and the best pitching performance of all time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that wraps up our baseball talk.
Yeah, well, I had fun talking about baseball this year, and I'm glad that we kept the baseball chat going. And I picked the Giants to get to the playoffs. I never picked them to win the World Series. I had the Dodgers over the Angels, I believe it was. But yeah, you know, San Francisco is the kind of team that knows how to win. And in baseball, it's all about knowing how to win. And mm-hmm. I mean, so sometimes it's about getting hot in the right situation. But if you're a team that knows how to win, then, you know, it's pretty tough to beat you.
Yeah. Let's move on. And let's just touch on this quickly, just because it happened tonight and it's current. The Whitecaps had started off the MLS playoffs. I kind of half use the word playoffs because I have a problem with the word wild card, the term wild card. It's a 4-5 match to see who gets into the playoffs, let's be honest. But the game ends on a, some might say, controversial call.
Yeah.
Some might say proper call. Some might, you know, it ended with handball in the box by Watson, I think. And yeah. Dallas capitalized, scored to win and move on. We disagreed to a point on where I said I don't think it should have been called. And you said it should have been. Why?
Well, technically it is a handball. I mean, look, I played soccer, you know, all my life growing up. I played it at a decent level. I mean, that is a handball by the letter of the law. What I was saying was just everyone that I saw on Twitter was reacting to it, saying it wasn't a handball. And I agree with you and some of the other people that I saw posting, like Omar Canuck and Grant Wall and the Whitecaps themselves and other, like, other Vancouver sports people who I follow on Twitter who were saying it wasn't a handball. And it was. I agree with you guys who were saying that it probably isn't one that you'd call in that situation, because it takes a, you know, it takes a sack of titanium to make that call, really. I would yeah. never, ever make that call, because it is ambiguous. It is, you know, somewhat difficult to justify, because, you know, people think of handballs as the kind of thing like Diego Maradona hand of God thing, where you like hit the ball intentionally with your hand. And,
right.
you know, you have to realize that no, a handball is anything below the shoulder, really, on yeah. the arm. So
my problem, I guess, is the definition of handball, where I think it should be maybe the wording of it to be that you cannot touch the ball purposely with your hand or arm or whatever you define as handball mm-hmm. To purposefully help you, I think. Because in that situation, he did not do that on purpose. He was trying to get his arm out of the way, in fact.
Right.
Accidental contact, ball to hand, which, and then maybe my view of reffing should be that if it's not completely obvious in the deciding minutes of a game, maybe that's old school thinking, but if it's not completely obvious, do not call it. I mean, he wasn't hesitant, the ref. He wasn't hesitant, and I give him that. He made the call and he was confident about it, but just because you're confident about it doesn't mean it was the right call. So, I don't know. I think we're going to be talking too much. Twitter's going to be talking too much. Talk shows, highlights are going to be about the handball and not who was the better team, which is what the sports are about, you know. We're talking about Madison Baumgartner's performance and not a outer safe call at home plate or something.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate part. That happens a lot in soccer.
Yeah, it's weird that they don't have replay or you know, video review, because they don't want to slow down the game, I suppose. But it's the most controversial sport other than maybe boxing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is. You're absolutely right. And it's the sport that's, I think, most affected by refereeing decisions. I mean,
yeah.
You can argue balls and strikes are important, but I mean, you don't, if a guy hits the ball out of the park, it's pretty hard to dispute that. Well, I mean, something like this is pretty easy to dispute. And other situations where we've seen controversial calls or non-calls or balls across the line that weren't called goals and stuff. And it really does. I agree with you. It really does kind of bog down the result and direct the discussion in a direction that it really shouldn't. So, I mean,
well, it's a thing that should be looked at overall too, because I mean, reffing is a hard job, very difficult job. My opinion on reffing is that anyone should be able to do it. It should be, not anyone should be able to do it, but for example, it shouldn't be subjective. And a lot of soccer is subjective, whether or not that's a foul. There's no definitive, you know, one ref might give a yellow card there, one ref might give a red card, one ref might not even call it. Whereas opposed to baseball, the only thing that you can kind of do, because they have video replay for most of it, the one thing that's subjective now is balls and strikes, but even that is defined by shoulders to knees and inside the outside of the plate. Basketball, I guess, calling fouls is a little bit subjective, and refereeing in NHL, but soccer is definitely the
most. You'll never see a ref call a foul on the last play of the game, like in the paint on like a charge, you know, or something like that. That's the equivalent.
Yeah.
Doing that is like calling a charge when LeBron is bearing down with a 1-point difference in the last 5 seconds and he goes up against Tim Duncan and you call a charge. That's what that's like doing, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. You call a penalty in a tie game within the last 15 minutes of a soccer game, you're pretty much sealing it, because the turnaround to a goal in a soccer game, it's like, it's a buildup that takes 15, 20 minutes. It's just the reality of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I disagree with this. I disagree a little bit with the call. I don't think it should have been called a handball. If you are going to call that a handball, I don't think it should have been called in the circumstances. So that's two chances to disagree with me, people on Twitter. Go ahead. Let me hear it. I'm ready. I'll defend it.
Who are you, Paul, on Twitter? You're Paul Almeida 22.
Paul Almeida 22. And if you, you know, agree with Dan, you can at Dan the Max him and tell him he's right. He likes to hear that.
Yeah, that doesn't happen often.
Hey, let's go back to the World Series for a second. The World Series has to be one of the worst trophy presentations ever.
Well, because there's, oh my God, my pet peeve is how much celebration is done by baseball teams before they even win the World Series. They qualify for the playoffs. They do the champagne thing. They win their division. They do the champagne thing. They're the one of the two wild card teams to qualify. They do the champagne thing. They win the wild card playoff. They do the champagne thing. Round one, champagne. Round two, champagne. World Series, champagne. So it doesn't matter by the end of it. Yeah. You just look like a bunch of rowdy alcoholics wearing swimming goggles.
Yeah, and it's, even if you go past that, the World Series, I think it should be, hockey does it. You give it to the players, you know, and it's on the ice.
Hockey's the only sport that does that.
It's on the ice in front of the fans. Whether Zdeno Chara hoisting it in front of Vancouver was not fun to see, but it was still the right thing to do because the players won that game. You don't give the Lombardi Trophy to the owner. That's so ridiculous. And the World Series, they had it on a pedestal and invited the players in one by one to be interviewed by Aaron Andrews while they look at the trophy. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. Hockey and soccer are the only two sports where they give it directly to the players, and that's absolutely the way you have to do it. I mean, okay, I get it. The owner is the reason these players are on the team, and the owner's the one whose money it is. And in most business situations, you would give a prize to a business, to the business owner, but this is different.
It's not a cut and dry business solution. That's like handing Bryan Cranston's Oscars to Vince Gilligan because it's his idea.
That's actually pretty accurate.
That's like, yes, it was Vince Gilligan's show and he wrote it, but you don't get there without Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You're right. I get it.
So let's move on to the, what do you want to do? NHL or?
Well, why don't I ask you before we segue into NHL, why don't I ask you really quickly to talk to me a bit about the NBA, which has just started last night, and what you think is going to happen in the basketball league this season.
Well, I'm taking more of an interest this year than I usually do. And there's just some good storylines, I think, for the casual basketball observer. LeBron going back to Cleveland. Derrick Rose hopefully playing a full season. The Durantless OKC Thunder. Can they survive without him for 3 months or 2 months, however long he's out? Steve Nash. He's not so much a story, but a lack of a story because his career looks to be over. So what's the mini three of Kobe, Jeremy Lin, and Carlos Boozer? What a random three.
Jeremy Lin as part of a big three. Are you freaking kidding me?
He's part of the big three at the math club at Harvard. Does that count? And it's just, yeah.
That was racial profiling.
At me on Twitter. I'll defend myself. Okay, so those are the big stories. The East looks to be a two-horse race, as much as LeBron does not want to build it up. It's between the Cavs and the Bulls, barring injury. Can the Heat push there? Maybe Dwayne Wade will be on a mission to prove he doesn't need LeBron. Maybe, but I don't think him and Ennis can hold up the slack. Toronto will be the awkward teenage kid at the high school dance. He'll be kind of there, but he's harmless and he won't really do anything. If you just ignore him for a long time, they'll go away. He
doesn't have a date. Well, actually, his date's Drake. And,
and he gives out lint rollers, so let's be honest, he's harmless. So the East is Cleveland versus Chicago in the Eastern Conference Finals, for me at least. In the West, you have more of a deeper league, basically. You have San Antonio, who's probably the deepest team in the league. You got the Clippers, who are easily going to outplay LA. Maybe Jack Nicholson will change seats in the arena. OKC, once Durant gets back, will be good. And so the West, Dallas Mavericks are kind of a dark horse. And Portland is also going to be a good team this year.
Yeah, Portland will be a good team for sure.
So
Clippers, you can't forget the Clippers.
Yeah, well, the Clippers are, they're Chris Paul has been here in the league 10 years and he's yet to reach a conference finals. So he might have something to prove this year too. I'm going to actually take the Clippers to the conference finals in my pick, but I just don't see them beating San Antonio. San Antonio was so good last year and they got better. So if you ask me for my day two prediction, San Antonio, Cleveland in the finals, LeBron loses again.
Spurs versus LeBron, eh? Well, LeBron and K-Love, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. It's going to be an interesting year, I think. I would like to see a team other than the Spurs or LeBron's team win it. I mean, I think it's cool when a sport with as little parity as basketball has like a surprise team win it, like that year the Mavs won it. I would love to see OKC do well because I really have a lot of respect for Kevin Durant.
Yeah, he's probably the one of the crowd favorites in the league, I would say, Kevin Durant.
I feel bad for the Indiana Pacers, who I think would have a good team if Paul George's leg wasn't exploding.
There's just teams that are so bad. We talk about teams that are bad in the NHL, but on any given night, you can still win a game. See the Edmonton Oilers 4-game winning streak. But in the NBA, I don't see the 76ers winning more than 12 games this year, which means they're going to lose 70.
How bad is that?
How do you play on a team?
I'm looking right now at their roster, at their box score from their loss to Indiana tonight, and I recognize Michael Carter-Williams because he was the rookie of the year, wasn't he, last year? Or he was at least a really good rookie.
Yeah.
And then I recognize Nerlens Noel because he's got that really badass haircut. But other than that, I mean, their shooting guard who had 22 points tonight is a guy named Tony Rotten.
Oof.
Yeah, so I don't know anyone on the Sixers team. But the point of what I'm trying to say, and I think what you're trying to say, is that there's just no parity in basketball. And when you can enter a season knowing who probably with a fair amount of confidence, who the one, you know, that the champion will come from a pool of four or five teams, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
You know, because you might have actually been able to say that about the NHL this year, but you're not often able to say that about the NHL.
And even if you are able to say it about the NHL, you're often wrong, too. Look at Boston. Everyone picked them. It's either them or Tampa as the Eastern Conference champions, and they're 5-5 after 10 games. So it surprises more than basketball does. This is interesting. If you want to make some money, regular season MVP, my pick for MVP is Derrick Rose this year. 9-1.
Okay. Well, if he's healthy.
LeBron James at 1.9-1.
Huh.
Like, why even make a bet? Kevin Durant at 5-1, even though he won't be there 2/3 of the year. Derrick Rose 9-1. Blake Griffin 11-1. There's some big names down here. If you are feeling lucky, Dirk Nowitzki, if he could take the Mavericks to the Eastern Conference Finals, 67-1.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I don't think he will, but
nah, probably not. I'm trying to look right now if there's any team that I think could be like an underdog, maybe a underdog pick in the either division, really. And I guess I just don't know enough about basketball to say if there is or not. You know, I mean, there's some teams who I think are really good. Like you talked about Portland. I want to say I really like Stephen Curry, so I want to say that maybe Golden State will be good. Yeah. But I don't know anything about any other players. So it'll probably, yeah. I mean, if I'm looking right now at who I think is going to win, I'd probably tell you that it's going to be the Spurs over the Heat. It's the Spurs over the Cavs or the Bulls, probably at this point.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that, you know, our picks are basically the same. If you want to look at an Eastern Conference dark horse, Washington Wizards are going to be pretty good this year. It'll be interesting to see what Carmelo does in New York after the offseason, where he could have gone to LA and he could have teamed up with LeBron and blah, 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 blah. It'll be interesting to see what Andrew Wiggins does in Minnesota with Anthony Bennett.
Yeah.
In the Western Conference, I mean, you could look at the Nuggets. I don't know.
The Nuggy Nuggs. What about the New Orleans? No, sorry, that's the wrong team. Is it the New Orleans Pelicans? What's the team that Anthony Davis is on? Because he looked fucking good yesterday.
Yeah, and there's another MVP dark horse. I mean, I don't think he's really a dark horse. But if you're an Anthony Davis fan, he's fifth on the list, 13-1.
Fear the brow, baby. Fear the brow.
Fear that brow.
Fear that brow.
I'm doing my betting every day with the NBA as well.
Yeah.
But I realize that you can't do this for the NHL, but you can cash out your bets mid-game in the NBA. So today, bet on the Bucks at 4-1 to beat the Hornets, because there was no point of betting the Hornets because they were like 1.2 or something. So I bet the Bucks, and then I'm looking at the scores just periodically. And the Bucks are winning by 5, and they're winning by 9. They're winning by 11 at half. They're winning by 15. They're winning by 18. It's the fourth quarter. I could have cashed out my bet for almost the max amount. And I was like, nah, it's so easy. You might as well just take all of it. I look at my phone when I get home from work, and it was overtime.
Charlotte outscored them by 15 points, dropping 32 in the fourth quarter. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Kemba Walker. They actually have a decent team this year, Charlotte. It's actually really funny, and I feel really bad for you.
I mean, it doesn't really matter because I bet with so little that it's like, I lost like $5.
But you're all for betting the friggin' Milwaukee Bucks.
I think that's a lesson to everyone. Don't bet a team from Milwaukee. Could they be the worst sports city of all time?
Well, if you count the Packers as part of Milwaukee, then no, you can't say that it is. True. But if you just count it as Brewers Bucks, then yeah,
maybe
that
Milwaukee Bucks, most forgettable team of all time. They seem like they never make the playoffs, but they're never bad enough to be last, so we talk about them. They're always just like kind of 16th in the league.
Yeah, that's kind of like the Charlotte Bobcats, now Hornets.
Yeah, they're like the Kansas City Chiefs are like that.
Yeah,
and exactly. Like the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, exactly. Bad enough like to be an Oiler town, but never really a legitimate threat ever. Yeah. Well, the Bucks, I mean, you got to remember they had Ray Allen, but other than that, they've been forgettable.
Who also doesn't have a team, so that could be looked at.
No, but he had a good run.
But I think he's from what I can tell from just reading, is that he's waiting to pick a team because he doesn't, you know, he's earned the right, I think he feels like, and he probably has, to pick a team and try and help them out. He's not going to make or break them like LeBron, but he is a complimentary, very good player. So,
quickly, Minnesota Timberwolves, Andrew Wiggins gets 6 points in 19 minutes. He actually got outscored by Anthony Bennett.
Yes, he got 9. That's funny.
Canada, we're just disappointing.
First game jitters. Well, you want to talk about disappointing for Canada is that came out wrong. But Oscar Tavares, which was horrible to hear.
Yeah.
But he is part Canadian, is he not? Or he was at least going to play for the Canada in the World Baseball Classic. And what happened was just terrible.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I heard today listening to 1040, but... another disappointing, not disappointing, but heartbreaking Canadian tragedy kind of deal. Heartbreaking tragedies, that and Anthony Bennett.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Let's move on to the NHL.
Terrible. Okay, fine. No Anthony Bennett's there.
No. Well, unless we're talking about the god-awful Carolina Hurricanes, who have now, what are they, 0-6-2?
What are their Stanley Cup odds at right now?
Oh, this ought to be good. Let's look. I want to see their standings. To win outright. Who's worse? Buffalo at 201, Carolina 201. Look at Edmonton at a whopping 100.
It's a race to the bottom. But look, the Hurricanes have looked really bad and they haven't won a game yet. But they're going to win some games because they have some quality players on their team. Buffalo is like another world of bad. Like, they got 10 shots against the freaking Maple Leafs last night. They have 11 goals for, which conveniently enough actually isn't the fewest goals for in the league because Florida has 10. The only difference is that Florida's only played 7 games, whereas Buffalo's played 10.
And they also have Roberto Luongo.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you that, Buffalo or Carolina, who's worse? Buffalo.
Buffalo.
You have to say Buffalo just because of who they have. But the Canucks played Carolina, and there's just nothing there. Like, it was 0-0, well, for a whole 90 seconds, but it was 1-0 for a good part of the game, and you just don't ever feel like they're a threat. I know they have Jeff Skinner and Eric Staal and Alex Semin, but
they're bound to get Jack Eichel, and he'll help them because he's almost as good as McDavid. But I don't think they're as bad as Buffalo is. I think Buffalo is purposefully bad. I mean, we talked about this last week. The fact that they had that Erie Otters game with Connor McDavid and in Buffalo tells you that they do not give two shits about this season. They do not care. Connor McDavid to their fans already, and they're not assured of him, even if they do finish last.
Yeah.
The friggin' draft lottery could be won by the Winnipeg Jets.
Ugh.
Right? Like, I mean, it could be won by Arizona. That doesn't guarantee they're going to get McDank. Yet they're tanking this season like Fury style. So I find it a bit nauseating. And I'm not really surprised that Buffalo's this bad because you look at that roster and that's like.
But 10 shots is. Yeah, Joe Pavelski had 10 shots in the game against whoever they played last night.
Yeah, and he's not even as good as Jamie Benn.
Of course not. Last podcast as well, you also asked me what would happen first, a cure-free Ebola, a Raiders win, or a Hurricanes win, and none of those things have happened yet.
None of those things have happened.
And it's been like 5 days.
I'm asking the question again, and the question still stands.
A team moves to London is my answer, and it still is.
Since Roger Goodell's a 15-year plan for that, just like he has a 15-year plan for domestic abuse.
Ayo. So the NHL, my other question was, is Montreal for real? They're 8-2, coming into Vancouver now.
They lost to the freaking Oilers, but...
Well, yeah.
But you know what? They look really good. I mean, at the start of the year, you and I talked about them being a fair bet for a playoff spot and a decent playoff spot. And they have one of the best defense cores in the league. They have one of the best goalies in the league. I'm still not really entirely impressed by their forward group.
Yeah.
I mean, it's decent, but they have no catalyst there, really, unless Alex Galchenyuk makes an enormous leap this year. They're for real in the sense that they might be the runaway favorite in that division now that Boston sucks.
Yeah, no Torrey Krug, no Zdeno Chara, Dougie Hamilton. Get ready.
Oh, yeah, Douglas Hamilton, you are going to have some sore body parts come morning time. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, let's jump. Do you want to do NFL or do you think we'll do another one before Sunday?
We'll do another one before Sunday, so I'm not going to sweat NFL right now. What's the Thursday nighter?
I can't remember, but it's a good game. It is New Orleans versus Carolina.
It is a good game. Who you got?
I got the Saints.
Yeah, they look pretty good on Sunday.
Yes, they did. Against who?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, moving on to the buzzer beater. Start the music.
Moving on to the beater of buzz.
Start the music. Here we go.
Okay.
Number one. Since Marty Brodeur is probably not going to ever play another game and has a very unceremonious retirement, who's the best goalie? Patrick Waugh, Marty Brodeur, Dominic Hasek?
Best career, Marty Brodeur. Best goalie on talent, I would say that it was Dominic Hasek.
Ooh. Number two, would you rather the Whitecaps win the MLS Cup or the BC Lions win the Grey Cup?
Well, Whitecaps win the MLS Cup. I mean, the Grey Cup, did you know the Grey Cup's in Vancouver this year?
Yes, I did. Did you know it was here in 2011?
Yeah, you're one of the few people who knows that.
Well, why did the BC Lions, like, I'm glad it's here, but why did the BC Lions have it when they had it 3 years ago? There's 8 teams in this league. Which is,
yeah, but where else are you going to put it? You going to put the friggin' Grey Cup in Hamilton? Like, who wants to go to Grey Cup there? You put it in metropolitan places. Or you put it in Regina because they know how to party in Sask.
And they have nothing else to do. Number three, Ryan Miller got his win number 300 versus Carolina at age 34. Does he hit 400?
That would require at least 330. No, I'm going to say no. And we can come back and check the tapes in a couple years.
Better Game 7, World Series or Stanley Cup Final?
You mean like this past year or in general?
In general.
In general, NHL.
NHL. And then that leads me to number 5. Would you rather have the Game 7 Cup-winning goal in overtime or a walk-off home run in extra innings in Game 7 in the World Series?
Walk-off homer in that case. Although NHL Game 7, I'm saying, is better. The walk-off homer in Game 7 of the World Series, like if Salvador Perez had just caught one of Bumgarner's high fastballs there, that would have been the moment of moments. That would have been,
I think, in the NHL, you get to flip your gloves and throw your stick, Alec Martinez style. In the end, in the baseball, you get to trot those bases and just savor it. I would run so slowly.
Oh, I know, right? And then you would just take it all in, just like Joe Carter, touch them all, Joe. You know, you never hit a bigger home run in your life. And then you get to go have a champagne party for the 5th time that postseason, right? So it really, it'll probably be old hat for you. You probably won't even pop the bottle because you're just so sick of it.
It's like, this champagne... This champagne sucks.
Oh, yeah. Champagne for my... What is it? Real pain for my sham friends. Champagne for my real friends. Boom.
Dan McDonald, rapping her day.
Thanks. I'm really cool. I'm really cool. All right. Buzzer beater for you.
Okay, hit it.
Okay, I know you're not a big baseball guy, but Madison Bumgarner's World Series performance, can you think of, off the top of your head, a more clutch playoff performance than that in recent memory?
If the Canucks had won the Stanley Cup, Alex Burrows.
But if they had won it on Alex Burrows' play.
If they had won in Game 7 off an Alex Burrows' play, easily. Other than that, Robert Horry? No.
Body checking Steve Nash?
I don't know. I'm just thinking of overtime winning moments. Clutch performers. No, I can't. Not off the top of my head, at least. No.
Okay, cool. Speaking of Steve Nash, he's probably done now, you think?
Yes.
He's probably done. Okay, yeah, I think that's probably a fair assumption. Who, in your mind, is the best Canadian player in a non-hockey sport in the last 10, 15 years? Is it Steve Nash in basketball? Is it Justin Morneau in baseball? Is it Mike Weir in golf?
Good options there, sir. I think it's got to be Steve Nash, especially from where he, you know, what he did for the game. Yeah, it's got to be Steve Nash.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I think that there's a couple guys you could probably put there for baseball, but I think Morneau is probably the best option.
Best Canadian who not, I mean, you could throw George St. Pierre in there. He did a lot for the sport. He was definitely a sight to watch. Christine Sinclair, perhaps.
Yeah. Like, George St. Pierre wouldn't be a bad option.
Yeah.
All right. What is the more tasteless Halloween costume?
The Ray Rice one. Don't even go
into it. Is it the Ray Rice dragging around the doll? Is it the zombie Ebola nurse? Or is it the leather daddy Gian Gomeshi mask?
Not right to laugh at any of these, but seeing as I'm already defending myself on Twitter, fuck it. I think They're just so stupidly bad. Like, yeah. Like, yes, the proper thing to say in this situation is, yes, domestic violence is awful, and it is, but I think as a Halloween costume, if you're going to do that, A, you're an idiot, but B, what are you doing? It's so bad that it's funny.
Yeah, I felt kind of bad because I giggled about it when I first saw it on Facebook. And I was like, this is hilarious. But then when I saw Janae Palmer Rice be all like, thank you for laughing at my pain, I was like, you know what? I am a freaking douchebag.
I'm an asshole now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I mean, the message it sends is not funny, but no. The costume, the idea to have that as a costume is stupidly funny because they're just the level of idiocy is just so high that it's just laughable.
Yeah. All right, Paul, who will end up being the, in retrospect in a few years, the worst first overall pick? Will it be Anthony Bennett?
Nail
Yakupov. For the Cleveland Cavaliers, now Minnesota Timberwolves. Will it be Nail Yakupov for the Edmonton Oilers? Or will it still be the reigning undefeated
Patrick
champion, Jamarcus Russell?
Oh, okay.
Who did you say?
I was going to say Patrick Stephan.
Oh, man. Well,
1999.
That's going a bit far back. I say Jamarcus Russell because of all that money the Raiders threw at him to be an alcoholic wife beater.
Speaking on our current topic.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got to be Jamarcus.
Oh, yeah.
But oh man, Nail Yakupov is trying hard.
Oh, he's trying hard. No, oh, Anthony Bennett's already there. I mean, they were considering him a bust after like five games.
Maybe you might find a resurgence in Minnesota, which is we the kind of North.
We the kind of North? Oh, I guess, yeah, it is.
Isn't it higher than Toronto in terms of latitude anyways?
I think it might be. If you look at Toronto on a map, you're probably right.
Minnesota has more Canadian players anyway.
Yeah. Okay, and on a bit more of a serious note, unfortunately, yesterday definitely one of the greatest hockey players of all time, Gordie Howe, he suffered a pretty bad stroke down in Texas where he's staying with his family or whatever. Now, Gordie Howe, he's known as the player who guys like Wayne Gretzky and Bobby Orr looked up to as being the greatest player of all time or the player that they looked up to the most. What is your kind of what are your thoughts when you think of Gordie Howe? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Weirdly, the first thing that comes to mind is a not conspiracy, but a false truth almost. Okay. That thing that no one really knows. What is a Gordie Howe hat trick?
Okay.
What is it?
It's a goal, assist, and a fight, I thought.
Everyone knows that. Gordie Howe had three of them in his career.
He had three? He only had three Gordie Howe hat tricks in his career?
Why is it named a Gordie Howe hat trick?
Well, that doesn't make any sense. It
doesn't make any sense at all. And that's the thing that I think of, which is awful. But I don't know. I don't know much about Gordie Howe's playing days because I just wasn't around in terms of stats and everything. I met him once because he's part owner of the Giants. Am I thinking of Bobby
Orr? I want to say part owner, or Ron Toigo has him at a lot of events.
Yes, and so I was there for a show kind of thing, and I met him, and he was nice, and I shook his hand. Does that count?
No, it counts. It counts.
I was watching because Sportsnet 360, I don't know, whatever number it is, before the Canucks games, they don't have pregame shows anymore. They show NHL classics. So before the Carolina game, I was watching Montreal Canadiens versus Boston Bruins 1979 Game 7.
Nice.
And I would have loved to be a fan at that time.
Oh, yeah.
The hockey was just, like, I mean, hooking and everything galore, but considering how that wasn't a talking point, the hockey was awesome. Mostly because the goalies were so bad, but it was awesome.
Oh, it was. I mean, everyone was standing up. The goalies were standing up. The players were standing up. The fans were standing up. Everything, it looked so rigid. You know? It was pretty funny.
It was cool. And that team, it was like Larry Robinson, Bob Gainey was on that team. I don't think Guy Lafleur stepped off the ice in overtime. It must have been great to watch all those guys. So if I had to go back in time, 1979. Yeah.
If you turn back time,
bow, 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 bow.
If you could find Casey and JoJo,
bow, 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 bow.
Okay, so we're planning on perhaps coming back on Saturday, which is, conveniently enough, your birthday.
Sunday is my birthday, but we could pretend for
Sunday,
podcasting.
It's your birthday. Well, okay, well, we're going to do another one this weekend because, well, I mean, we have to talk about the NFL.
Best of World Series games, yes. Best of World Series Game 7's countdown is on Sportsnet. Luis Gonzalez, 2001, blooper over Jeter's head. Number two. What's number one? Best Game 7. Quick, call it before they do it.
What, Game 7 blooper?
Game 7.
Okay, this is
best,
Luis Gonzalez.
World
well, it's
got to
be Buckner because Buckner was Game 7.
No. Best of World Series Game 7. Oh,
Carter. Joe Carter.
It's... They have something, from,
Carter,
they have something from 1960s. I don't even recognize
it. Oh, Mazeroski. That's the that's the shot heard around the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the first walk-off home run to win a World Series, I think, ever.
Oh.
For the Pirates there. That's a really famous one. I would think it would be Joe Carter, but I guess that wasn't a Game 7. That was a Game 6, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Can we talk about one last thing before we leave? What really grinds my gears? Why does NBC call it Wednesday Night Rivalry when clearly the Detroit Red Wings and Washington Capitals are not rivals?
Yeah, the NHL does a really shitty job of scheduling in these games to like these primetime situations. Because like, okay, the NFL, yeah, some of their Thursday night games have not been the best. And I mean, some of the Monday night games sometimes aren't even the best. But they try. They put premier teams and theoretically premier matchups in those spots. The NHL puts Detroit and Washington in there.
Well, even if it's not, like, it's just a regular Wednesday night game, it's fine, call it a Wednesday night game, but why do they brand it as rivalry night? It's not Wednesday night rivalry, it's Wednesday night random two teams that are playing and happen to be on NBC.
Yeah, like, what are they going to do for Wednesday night rivalry next week? You got Montreal, Buffalo, and Detroit, New York. That's neither of those are rivalry.
Detroit, New York, they're going to call a rivalry because it's now rivalry because they both play in the East?
Sure.
Close enough.
I guess.
All right. And last question, how many goals does Corey Perry score for me this year? Is
I got
it over 100?
54.
Okay, I was going to say 89.
I'm really stoked. The Canucks play the Ducks next week.
Oh my God, I'm so scared.
I'm just thinking Ryan Kesler. I don't know whether Ryan Kesler's going to be classy and like say if he scores a goal.
Is it in Vancouver?
Do the soccer thing where they don't celebrate, or is he just going to go full douchebag?
Is it in Vancouver? I think they're on a road, California road.
It's in Anaheim.
Oh, okay, well, he might be lucky Kesler. I would have. If he came to Vancouver, I think even Ryan Kesler would have been a little bit nonchalant, maybe.
Is like Darius in our hockey pool Facebook chat levels of classless. He has no class. So in Vancouver, if he scored, he'd probably do the Superman thing to the crowd or whatever.
He'd probably Tiger Williams down the ice.
He's Tiger Williams down the ice while doing the Clark Kent. Well.
While
like
doing
maybe try to nail Corey Schneider's fiance again.
If I could turn back time,
then all my life you'd be searching for someone like me.
Someone like you.
Our sing cast.
It's just getting more random with our songs now.
It really is. Okay, folks, check back in next week. Subscribe to the podcast. Do the survey. Subscribe to our Twitter feeds. Why am I saying these things? You're not going to do any of them.
Josh Ho sang, can you see?
Huh? Bye, Scott.
Bye, Mom.